Now I want you to turn this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, I'm going to read beginning at verse 14, and I shall read through verse 16. If there is someone near you who does not have a Bible, perhaps you could share with them as we read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. While you're finding your place and before we read, may I say again that it is a real joy to have you in the house of the Lord today. I see a good number of visitors, and we're particularly happy to have you worship God with us in this hour. Then at 7, our Sunday evening worship hour. Tonight my message will be taken from Daniel chapter 10. There is abroad in this land, and let me just give you one example. In Los Angeles County, there are 10,000 known identified witches. In Los Angeles County. Now my message tonight is entitled, The Universal Conflict in the World of the Spirits. It will be a message on demons and demonology. This is one of the fastest growing cults in the world today. Devil worshipers. Are people really possessed by the devil? Is there any such thing as demons in the enlightened, educated world of the 20th century? We'll get the answer from the Word of God tonight. So I want you to go out this afternoon and invite some of your friends. And let's get the word out. Tonight at 7, the universal conflict in the unseen world of the spirits. There is a great conflict raging in the unseen world. And I want you to know about it because you're going to be exposed to it out on the job and out in the community and out in the marketplace and wherever you go. I want you to have the know from the Word of God. So I expect this place to be overrunning tonight. I want you to call your neighbors and friends, invite them to come and hear the message on demons and demonology. Are they real? Do they exist? How do they affect people today? Let's get the answer from the Word of God tonight at 7 o'clock. I hope that you'll be here. Bring your friends and let's have a great time together. Now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, I began reading at verse 14 after we pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the open Bible. We thank Thee for Thy Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than a sword with two edges. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the privilege and the freedom to stand here and expound upon the Scriptures. We pray today that as we read these verses and as we give the exposition of the preaching of the gospel, that the power of the Holy Spirit would arrest us and bring men to Christ and revive us and add to the church and give us harvest today is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. My message this morning is entitled, The Priesthood of Jesus Christ. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, is threefold: prophet, priest, and king. I speak briefly of each of those. As prophet, he spoke for God in the days of his flesh while upon the earth. That was the prophet ministry of Jesus. As priest, he is right now, this moment, while you are seated right here on this pew in this church, he, our great, eternal, faithful high priest, is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession between God and man. As king, he shall come in revelation glory to establish his kingdom upon the earth, and from the city of Jerusalem shall rule over all the earth in a kingdom of righteousness and peace and equity and joy and prosperity for 1,000 years. Now there is a difference between prophet and priest. The prophet is one who speaks for God to man. The priest is one who speaks for man to God. We are first introduced to the priesthood in the Old Testament, in the person of Aaron, the brother of Moses, who became the first high priest of the Levitical priesthood. He was ordained of God. Aaron was anointed by Moses. Aaron was the high priest of the Old Covenant, the Old Dispensation, the old way. Aaron, the first high priest of the Levitical priesthood. Now, as the high priest in Israel, Aaron had a multiplicity of jobs. Remember, he is the one who spoke to God and met God for the nation Israel. In all of the duties, in all of the ceremonial activity of the high priesthood, nothing was more important. Nothing had more emphasis than the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the day that the high priest went beyond the veil and offered a blood offering for the sins of the people of Israel. Why, it was the highest and holiest and most revered day in all of the sacred calendar of the nation Israel. It was a day of fasting. It was a day of mourning. It was a day of self-examination. It was on the 10th day of Tishrei, or the 10th day of October. On the 10th of October in our calendar, just 9 days from now in our calendar, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, Aaron, the first high priest of the Levitical priesthood, went out to the brazen altar, and there he sacrificed a bull and a goat for a sin offering and for a burnt offering for the children of Israel. When he made the sacrifice at the brazen altar, all of the blood was drained out of the body of the sacrificial animal. A basin, a bowl of that blood was caught. And with that basin of blood, Aaron, the high priest, entered into the holy place. He stood before the veil, the curtain that separated God from the nation. He stood before the veil that divided the tabernacle into two compartments. The holy place, where was the table of showbread and the altar of incense and the candlesticks, separated that compartment from the most holy place, or, as it is called, the Holy of Holies. The most sacred spot on earth was the place called the Holy of Holies. For it was there that God met with man. As Aaron entered into and stood before the veil, he dipped his fingers in the basin of blood and sprinkled it before the veil. And then he lifted the veil and went into the Holy of Holies. And with him he carried a handful of incense ground very finely. And with a censer of coals from off the altar, he sprinkled this incense on the censer of burning coals. And a great cloud of burning smoke and incense was raised between him and God. There he met with the Shekinah glory. Picture it in your mind. The Ark of the Covenant. And overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim, the mercy seat. Paul uses the same word in the book of Romans. John uses the same word in the first letter. He is our propitiation, which means mercy seat. And there, seven times he sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. And this was the atonement for the sins of the people of Israel. He went once a year, and only once, and only Aaron, and by himself, he entered the Holy of Holies, a pattern of that which is in heaven. And then immediately, not an hour later, not a day later, but immediately he went out of the Holy of Holies. There was no chair for him to sit down, for he must go back next year and do the same thing. And every day, and Paul comments on it in the book of Hebrews, every day there must be, in the various places appointed by God, and in the various manners, a daily sacrifice. There was no chair. There was no place to sit down. And this says to us that Aaron's work was never finished, never complete. I can imagine that all around that great tabernacle, a tribe here, a tribe there, a tribe yonder, the people waited anxiously. After all, their sins were now going to be atoned for. and they waited anxiously for the high priest to come out and say, again, for another year, sins are atoned for. On his shoulders, and please don't miss this, were two stones, one on each shoulder. Inscribed on each stone were six of the names of the tribes of Israel. The shoulder speaks of strength. He held up to God the children of Israel. And on his breast, there were 12 stones. And on every stone was inscribed one of the tribes of Israel. And the breast speaks of love. It's so near the heart. So that when the high priest stood before God, God saw every child, every person in the whole nation near the heart of the high priest. And the work is not done. It is not finished. It is not complete. This is the old covenant. This is the old priesthood. This is the old way. This is the old priest. This is Aaron. But wait. There is another priesthood. There is another covenant. There is another priest. His name is Jesus. And he is the priest, not after the order or rank of Aaron, who died. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, without beginning and without end, without father and without mother, immortal, deathless man. After that rank, after that order, he was a priest. One day, somewhere around the city of Jerusalem, some men went and cut down a tree. And they fashioned a cross out of two beams of that tree. And this was the Roman mode of execution. And they laid that tree upon the shoulder of the blessed Jesus. He had been tried by his own people, the Jew. He had been tried by the Romans. And even the Roman procurator said, I find no fault in him. And yet they cried in unison, away with him, crucify him. And so they led him up to the summit of a mount called Calvary. It stands some 60 feet above the other area around it. One can easily stand on Mount Calvary and view the whole city of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that when they came to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him. I do not have the words. I cannot find it in my vocabulary to describe to you the awesomeness and the anguish of the crucifixion of the Son of God. I do know that they beat him. I do know that they stripped him of his clothes. I do know that soldiers gambled for his seamless robe. I do know that they plucked out his beard. I do know that they blasphemed him. They spit upon him. They railed upon him. They battered and bruised him. I do know that. And I do know that Isaiah, 740 years before Jesus was born, wrote in his 52nd chapter, he was so marred, he was so battered, he was so beaten, he was so bruised, that those who looked at him could not recognize him as a human being. What an ugly and awful spectacle was the Son of God hanging between heaven and earth, naked in shame, dying for us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. The time of his death was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Bible says the veil of the temple that separated God from sinful man and sinful man from a righteous God, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. 4 teams of oxen could not pull, though they were beaten and driven in opposite directions, could not rip that curtain, that veil that separated God from man. But God did. It was torn from the top to the bottom, and a new and living way was opened. Amen. And Jesus looked over toward the temple area, and from there he could see the smoke ascending from the 3 o'clock lamb that was sacrificed on the Passover. And surely he must have felt in his own body and in his own mind, this is the ultimate sacrifice. They will not have to offer again those sacrifices. For Jesus cried from that cross, not as a victim, but as a victor. Not as one who had been defeated, but as a conqueror, he cried, it is finished. And the smoke of the burning offering from the temple is going to the nostrils of God. But the smoke and the burning and the fire from his own body is going to the nostrils of God. And for the first time, God said, I am satisfied. A new way, a new priest, a new Savior, a new priesthood, a new and living way. And may I inject this thought, that any system of religion that has a priest apart from the priesthood of the believer is a mockery to God. We have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens. I do not need the work of a priest. My priest is in heaven. And he's not standing up. He's sitting. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's there to make intercession for us. He's there as our advocate. He's there as our mediator. He's there as our standby, our go-between. He has passed into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer could purge the conscience from dead works, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit hath offered himself, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A new and glorious and living way is opened in Christ. He is our high priest. And forever it is finished. It's done. No more smoke. No more burning incense. No more blood. No more sacrifice. It's finished. And he is our forerunner. Hebrews 6:20 says he's entered for us to assure us that we too shall enter the heavenly world. And so he said before he went away, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our forerunner has passed into the heavens, our high priest, but he's coming back again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. Little child, mother, daddy, it's this simple. Jesus died on the cross for you. All you have to do is to accept him and what he's already done. Dying for you. Living for you. And thank God, coming again for you, the priesthood of Jesus. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, how we do thank thee for these moments in the Word. We've had the privilege to brag on Jesus and his eternal priesthood. Oh, dear God, I pray this morning for that young boy, that young girl, that young person, that man or woman, that mother or dad, that sinner, lonely and forlorn, weary with the load of sin. May they come today to the Lord Jesus, the High Priest, who is passed into the heavens, our priest, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. May they come to him. And then for those who need to come and pray, may they come. And for those who need to come into the fellowship of the church, may they come. May the high priest extend again his mercies and his love to a lost and dying world, is our prayer in Jesus' name.